couple of years ago, I was in a little village up in the top of the Himalayas, and I heard the same thing out in the Amazon, people telling me, we will never have telephones here because the lines won't reach us. And people in big cities like Quito, Ecuador, built a house and they couldn't get a telephone because nobody could build the lines to their house. Well, today all those people have cell phones. You go back to that village in the high Himalayas or deep in the Amazon, they get cell phones. They're talking to me. We're talking to each other. We're sending emails. We are totally a community for the first time in history. This is earth-shattering. This is a true revolution that's going on here. And it's powerful. It gives us great power. And I think as an economist, I can look at our economic development over the past 2,000 years and say, we've gone through an adolescent stage. Adolescents believe that you get ahead by competing. I got to get better grades than somebody, or be a better dancer, or be better in sports, or be better with the opposite gender or something. And our corporations have felt that way, and our countries have felt that way. You got to exploit somebody. You got to outcompete them. That's an adolescent view. And it's time now that we moved into a mature recognition that we are a very fragile species living on a very tiny planet. We are on a spaceship, but this spaceship doesn't have any shuttles. We can't get off. We've got to solve the problem right here. We got to solve it right now. You got to solve it. I got to solve it. We got to solve it before my grandson reaches high school. We've got to solve it. And we've got to understand that the only way Grant, my grandson's name is Grant, the only way Grant can possibly hope to inherit a sustainable, just, and peaceful world is if every child growing up in Africa, Latin America, the Middle East, Asia, all over this world has that same expectation, and it's realized for all of them. I'm going to see Grant tomorrow. He lives in Chicago. I'm flying from here to Chicago tomorrow. I'll tell him you gave him a rounding applause here. He'll love it. We have to realize that the only way we here are going to have homeland security is if we recognize that this whole planet is our homeland. We have to take care of it. It is our spaceship. It's all we've got. We've got to understand that. And predatory capitalism is destroying it and destroying us. We must turn it around. So I don't want to talk a lot longer. I want to open this up to questions and discussions, but I do want to just go in a little bit more about some of the things that we can do to turn it around. And I mentioned one. And in Hoodwinked, it's a lot about what we can do, these five approaches. And one of them is already I talked about, consumer responsibility. You know, to be totally aware when we buy things and to realize that the marketplace is essentially democratic if we choose to make it such. It is our vote. Every time you buy something or decide not to, you're voting. And I'd like to suggest that I think your vote in the marketplace is just as important and perhaps more important than your vote in the polls. After these last elections, I'm wondering whether I'm even going to bother to go to the polls anymore. I always have. I probably will. But I know I'm going to go to the polls every time I shop. We can shop consciously, and that has a huge impact. And another one of these things that we need to look at is our icons. Who do we hold out as heroes for us and our children to emulate? We picked some pretty awful icons recently. You know, I speak a lot at business schools, MBA programs, and they're still teaching as a model Jack Welch, former chairman of the board of General Electric. Jack Welch is a robber baron. He's nobody to be emulated. He became president primarily because as senior vice president, he fought tooth and claw not to have to clean up the Hudson River that his company, General Electric, was poisoning. And in the process of poisoning that river, it was poisoning all the GE employees that lived in the towns along that river. Jack Welch won that one. Because he won it and GE didn't have to clean up, he became president. And then he set out to make his company, General Electric, lean and mean. And he sure as hell succeeded. He laid off a quarter of his employees. And at the same time, he took huge raises and bonuses for himself. And then he turned GE from a manufacturing organization into a financial services organization, which is one of the things that's brought our economy to its knees now, is the fact that we don't make anything anymore. We just sell each other derivatives. Is there anybody in this room that can define a derivative? You think so? You know, I recently asked Ken Rogoff, who was chief economist at the IMF, what a derivative was, and he couldn't answer. And he's on a film called The End of Poverty? Question mark. And they ask him on this film, and this former chief economist of the World Bank just stutters. Well, a derivative is it's like a hedge. It's like a hedge. But truly, there's so many kinds of derivatives. Nobody really knows what a derivative is, and we don't even know what a merger is anymore, you know, or an acquisition. It's all become so foggy out there. But this is what our economy has become based on, this and the military. And it's been icons like Jack Welch and many others. So what we need to do is start putting people on the cover of Time magazine. Imagine, the man of the year is the head of the Fed. Why don't we have Ani, the woman who interviewed me on KBOO this morning, on the cover of Time magazine? Why don't we have, how many people here know of the Pachamama Alliance? Good, we got some fans here. Bill and Lynn Twist, who founded with me the Pachamama Alliance. Let's put them on the cover of Time magazine. Let's start a new Fortune 500. That's the 500 people that every year do the most to create a sustainable, just, and peaceful world for my grandson, Grant. And we got to remember, you know, only reason I'm up here talking is because I want a better world for Grant. And I know that means a better world for every child on the planet. That's the only way he's going to have it. So let's start looking at these people as our icons. And another thing we must do, and I think this is so exciting, and especially for you younger people out there who may be looking for jobs and not know what to do with jobs, we need to create a whole new economy here. We've got to turn this around. We've got an economy that's based on military and financial smoke and mirrors, derivatives, and trinkets. You know, we sell each other a lot of trinkets. Let's create an economy that's based on making things that'll make this place a better planet for Grant.